As it says up there, my name is Ben Shreve. I'm from the University of Bristol, and for the last few years, I have been unceremoniously pushing Lego on organisations across Europe. Now, interestingly, I don't think any of you have seen this presentation before, so I'm already off to a winner. Now, my background is in decision making, so my research looks at how teams make choices, how they resolve problems, how they identify risk, which obviously explains why I've been using a lot of Lego. Now, if you were around yesterday, you might have seen the Lego out and about. Some of you would have played it. Well done to the team that only lost £20,000. You were the best team yesterday. And the team that went bust, you were the worst team. So, let me give you an overview of what you've actually got in front of you. Clearly, what you have in front of you is a hydroelectric company, as you can tell from the Big Blue River. Okay, the Big Blue River is turning turbines, generating electricity, connected to a control system with a local area network. You know, it's got some important assets on the networks. We've got some PCs and a database. The network is connected via the internet, by some routers, and then we have an office site which is located somewhere else. So we're talking about two physically separated entities, both of which are vital to an organization. So in the office, you've got, again, a copy of the database which has the production data on for the plant site, and you've got a server which is running the company's website and their emails. Now, obviously I work in a school of computing, so it's as technical as Lego can get. Teams are presented with this, and they are informed that, as it stands, this wonderful Lego company has no security in place. And the challenge for them is to help them improve the situation. Now, they are told that they're going to play through four rounds, and in each round they'll be given 100,000 fictional monies to spend. They're able to roll money over, and they're given a number of investments to choose from. So far, so simple. They're presented with options to buy firewalls for either site, futuristic network monitoring, CCTV in place of physical security, antivirus, security training, and then they have the option to buy two intelligence cards. Now, what teams are told is that they have to make their choices in each round, and at the end of each round, they will suffer a number of attacks based on their choices. Okay, and these attacks reflect the real world up to a point. Now, yesterday we played with the rules that the police have put together, so they're a little bit interesting. I'm sure everyone enjoyed that. Now, the two intelligence cards are special because they enable, they provide the teams with extra information before they make their choices. So the asset audit gives them an overview of vulnerabilities within the organization, and the threat assessment provides them with an overview of the sort of threat actors that might be interested in them and how they might attack them. Now, one of the really interesting things that we see is that these two intelligence cards, they bemuse people, because what happens is most people go for the threat assessment first. They assume that knowing about the people that are attacking you is more useful than understanding the vulnerabilities that exist within the system. Unfortunately, maybe because I'm a little bit jaded, the threat assessment is minimally useful. And the information they receive is fairly superficial. It's useful for people who don't have a technical understanding. They get told that they might be attacked by script kiddies, so low-level attackers, organized criminals who want to make money, and they might get attacked by the nation state, for which there is probably nothing you can do. But the asset audit is much more useful. If they actually play that, then they find that there's a whole host of other things that are wrong with their system, and they get some more options for things that they should invest in. Now, I know this looks grossly simple, and it is, and yet somehow I've run games with this that have lasted 3 hours, because people get to use their imagination. They get to work out the priorities, negotiate the threats, identify vulnerabilities themselves, and they explore all sorts of scenarios. Now, for the most part, it's useful as like a discussion prompt. So I ran this with a major industrial company last year, and I ran it with their graduates. So I ran it with 100 graduates who were working for them. But what was really interesting was that after playing the game, they then went away and sat with their organization and talked through all the projects that they'd done, because they suddenly became aware of the complexities involved in securing systems. And they actually went away and changed a lot of their design choices, which was really kind of quite gratifying, considering they just spent the day playing with Lego. Now, I am able to share a few of the findings from our research on this. Obviously, there's more Lego. So the first paper to come out of this is called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I have no idea where my colleague got these from, but they're brilliant. So this was the initial piece of research. Now, this was only played with 12 teams. Teams were selected from academia and from industry. You've got two teams that are security experts in from each sector, two teams of computer scientists. When we say computer scientists, we mean they might be help desk staff or they're general computer specialists rather than security specialists. And then we have two managers. Now, this was just an initial piece of research to see whether there was anything interesting in the way that they make their choices. And so we looked at some simple, very simple statistics. So we found that, interestingly, the general computer scientists tended to be the best performers. These figures here are showing the number of attacks that they've defended against. So in total, there are 33 attacks available within the game, and they defended against the most. What really upsets lots of the people in my sector is the fact that the security experts did the worst. And that always upsets people. Now the question is, why did they do so badly? They still defended against 26 attacks, but they were outperformed by both of the other areas. And then we find things like this. There's a kind of complacency, which means that they don't play the game as if it's a game. They don't go back to square one and start with the basics. And then when they get given information, you get it again. You get this kind of complacency. And it's this, I wouldn't say arrogance, but it's not arrogance. They fail time and time again to go back to the basics and think about things as if they were a little fictional Lego company. They always assume that you're talking about some mega industry. Now, from a security point of view, it's quite interesting to see where the different sectors prioritize things. So here we've got the different defenses that they purchase. So the data refers to encryption of data. The basic cyber refers to the investment of firewalls and antivirus. So we find that the computer scientists and the managers both say, actually, it's really important that we buy firewalls and antivirus early on in the game. But the security experts say, no, we don't need firewalls in this fictional business. Who gives a? Instead, what they want is they want to buy the shiny, expensive, advanced piece of tech first. You go, but you're security experts. You should be going for the basics first, not the expensive stuff first. It's completely bizarre. So this is roughly what they look at. If we move on, we look at the way that they think about things. So you find that there's variation in the way that people prioritize risk or talk about risk. So some people are assessing the situation by using a procedure. It might be a declared procedure, it might be, you know, NIST based, it might be ISO 27001 based, you know, things that are accepted standards that they've learned. Or it might just be that they like to make their choices in a set way and they say we should do A and B and move on. So some of them use these set procedures. Others fall back and use experience. Okay, sometimes experience is a bit bizarre, but they fall back on experience. They say we should do this because I've seen this happen before. Others assess risk by considering scenarios. And this is, you know, the classic way that war games are played. So we're talking about, if I make this choice, what is the consequence? In this case, you know, they're saying, what's the worst that could happen if they attack our database? Finally, we've got the people that are quite terrifying, who just say, I think we should buy X because it's in front of me. And again, this is the point that we're trying to avoid when we're creating games. You don't really want to have your players get to the point where they're saying, we should do this because I don't have an opinion. Again, you can see that most of the time, the players are using scenario-driven approaches to thinking, which is good, but there is a lot of intuition there as well. So going forward, this is a reflection that the game needs to be adjusted so that we avoid more of this intuition. I'll talk about that in a second. So they end up being three key takeaways from this. We've got the good. The beginners, the people who don't know what they're doing, the non-experts, tend to take a very, very balanced approach to risk thinking. So the way they make choices is to say, they accept fully that they don't know what they're doing, and they say, right, we have to treat everything equally. They purposefully avoid a bias, which is really interesting. This is where I am, technically speaking, with my colleagues. You know, I know just enough to get myself into trouble when I'm playing with hardware, and not enough to get myself out of it, which they love, because they really like having to rescue me. So you have this problem that just having someone who might have heard of something doesn't mean that they're the person that you should follow. Again, there's this lesson to be learned about assessing the value of information. And finally, we consistently see this problem where people do the opposite to taking a balanced approach to risk thinking. They get one idea and they stick to it. And they never get out of the grain. They're always going in that direction. So in this case, someone just went on a 50-minute rant about what they could do with the value of data. Now that's the first piece of research. I want to tell you about the others because there's some really interesting stuff in there, but it's not published yet, so I have to come back and tell you about that another time. But what might be interesting to you is where we're going next. So we've recently signed an arrangement with the Corporation of London and the City of London Police to produce an exercise for the finance sector. So this is going to be an exercise to do with incident response. So whereas the game that I've just shown you is a fixed scenario, all of the options are laid out in advance, this will be an unfolding firefight for banks. So this is to help the finance sector and senior management in particular get an idea of what it's like to have to make choices under pressure as the environment unfolds around them. And that is definitely something that you are all experts in. And if you're interested in being involved or offering up opinions or testing, then drop me an email, because there's going to have to be a lot of testing, because this one is going to have to be a lot more complicated. Next time you see me around, hopefully I'll be able to talk about the more detailed analysis that we've been doing, because whilst that data set was 12 teams, we've now run it with 4,000 people, which means that we have a lot more data to go with and some fairly significant findings. But as is academia, I'm stumped from being able to tell you anymore. If you want to experiment with the game, it is released under Creative Commons. So feel free to go to the website. There are details for getting hold of Lego. The booklet is there with the attacks in it, and there are PDFs you can produce your own cards. If you want the full paper is there. You should be able to find that fairly easily. And again, there are my details. I think that is everything. Thank you very much.